bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host, and we are here at 1570 AM Holy Spirit Radio, WISP, and 1420 AM WCOJ. It is a great day, and it's February 7, 2020. It is still a new year, my friends, and God bless you for listening to our show today. And we're going to pray right now that this will be a tremendous day and weekend for you. As we begin our show, we want to dedicate our show to the family of Martin Luther King Jr., truly a heavyweight in the area of activism, who did so much to bring equality to the United States of America. And we just dedicate our show today to Martin Luther King Jr.'s family and to all of the many activists out there who are really on the front lines following in his footsteps to raise the standards in equality for people throughout America. And this is really important as we see, you know, pride, prejudice, the superego, a lot of division here and there. So we're going to dedicate our show to Martin's family, and we just thank God for the opportunity to be here once again with you again at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. And for those of us who are new to Finding God in Prison, remember the WINGS program is our primary program. It's an inmate reentry and recovery program in the Philadelphia Department of Prisons. And we have been working there for now almost 9 years. However, the WINGS program is in its 27th year date, began in 1993. And the WINGS program over at CFCF is facilitated by Bill Monick and myself, and trying to bring the love of God into the hearts and minds of our men. We're currently in the session 13 for this segment of the WINGS program. And we started on December 16th, 2019. And are planning a graduation in only 3.5 weeks. And I just want to thank our men who are in the program. We have 25 incredible guys who are really looking to make changes in their lives, trying to improve their lives for their families, for their children, and for their themselves. And honestly, this is a special time for them because, you know, they've lost a lot of years of freedom. And our job is to help them to not lose another year. It's so important to get them out. And the number one goal in the WINGS program actually is to get men home early and to help them to avoid violations of probation. We call them VOPs. And then the third goal is to never to return to prison again. And really to be home for their children, for their wives, for their families, and to live a good life. And so that's one of the main goals in the program. And so I just share that with you, my friends, because we have more than 2 million men and women incarcerated in the United States and more than 50,000 here in the state of Pennsylvania. And again, WING stands for Winning Ideas, Nurturing Growth, and Success. So we're constantly providing some good ideas for our men to engage in, to take part in, to help them to move forward in each of their lives. Very, very important. So we are doing well there. And we just had actually one of the great sessions of the WINGS program is geared for the family life and the pro-life cause. And that was session 10. And, you know, the March for Life in Washington, D.C., the 47th annual event that took place there only a few days ago, is a special event, which is really a time to step up to the plate for the voiceless or the choiceless, the unborn child. And many years ago, We were very, very active in the pro-life movement in Bucks County, working under Bill Miller as the vice president of the Bucks County Pro-Life Coalition. We ran many bus trips and many buses left from many churches in Bucks County, Philadelphia County, and we were real strong advocates for life. And we still are today. However, today our program is in the inmate reentry program. So within a 20-session profile, session 10 is all about the unborn child and traditional marriage and family life. And we're going to share some of that with you today because it's very, very important. And, you know, as we talk about the unborn child and abortion and partial birth abortion and traditional marriage and family life, these are important issues that we really need to understand and educate and motivate people to get on board with the Lord's way of thinking, which is so important. And Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and dedicated you to become a prophet." And this is incredible, you know, terminology and phraseology that the Lord gives us. And we often use that and refer to it in the family life movement, hoping to be an advocate for the unborn, which is so important. And, you know, if we look at the abortion providers out there, we have to highlight Planned Parenthood, who was founded by Margaret Sanger, who basically, you know, headed up the largest abortion provider in the nation. And her philosophy was to control the minority population through abortion. By setting up abortion clinics within the inner cities, we can control the minority population. And so hence we have what we have today. And you know, this organization is a nonprofit organization, like many nonprofit organizations, with assets in excess of $600 million, receiving more than $400 million in state and federal grants. Now, this is important information because, again, they are the largest abortion provider, and it's up to us to change that. And so, you know, if you can, you know, I encourage you to become an activist, a voice for the unborn, and to get out there and to help to educate your congressman, both the U.S. and on the state level as well, because it's all important. And I encourage you to do what you can within your church and within your family to get the message across to the youth and to all people who are really moving through the pro-life movement. It's so important. But many years ago, we had a TV show with Joe Mortimer, a good friend who ran Voices for the Unborn television show, and with Bill Miller here on the radio at Holy Spirit Radio. Voices for the Unborn was both on radio and television. Very, very important segment of time to get the message out to our listeners and to help them to understand the issues of life and family life. And so if you look at the medical factual data that proves that we have human life within a mother's womb, you know, you kind of wonder why in 1973 the U.S. Supreme Court said that human offspring are not persons before birth. Educated men, educated lawyers and judges, Supreme Court judges said that human offspring are not persons before birth, even though we have a heartbeat at 21 days. At fertilization, a new human life begins, complete with his or her own unique set of DNA, which is present from the first day of life. The new little person's sex is also determined from the beginning. During the first amazing month of life, the baby grows to 10,000 times his size at conception. And by the third week, the baby's heart begins to beat. Very, very important piece of medical factual data to prove that we have human life within a mother's womb. And within the first month, the baby is actually about the size of a pea or a fingernail. During the second month, the baby can actually suck its thumb. And the developing baby is now called a fetus, which is Latin for little one. She is making rapid progress, developing all her external and internal organs. During the second month, baby teeth form. Fingers and toes are developing. Ears, nose, lips, and tongue can now be clearly seen. Brain waves can be recorded. The skeleton changes from cartilage to bone. 40 muscle sets begin their first exercises. And by 8 weeks, all body systems are present. This little one can now suck her thumb. And that's a powerful thing. And many years ago, when we started working heavily in the pro-life movement, there were about 1.3 million abortions taking place annually in the United States, and approximately 55 million worldwide every year, which is an amazing thing. And 90% of all of the abortions back then in 2004 were basically done as regular abortions, and the other 10% were partial birth abortions, okay, or third trimester abortions, late term abortions. And the information that you have today is a little different because we have different laws in place. Again, in 1973, the U.S. Supreme Court said that human offspring are not persons before birth. In 1976, they said that minor daughters can have an abortion without their parent consent. Again, a 12, a 13, a 14-year-old daughter could have an abortion without her parents knowing about it, even though that child cannot take an aspirin without a parent's consent in a public school, cannot drive until 17 with a driver's license, can't vote until she's 18 years old, and can't drink alcohol until 21. But yet, the U.S. Supreme Court said in 1976 that minor daughters can have an abortion without their parents' consent. And just think about that, how educated people, could vote for something so horrendous. Imagine it was your daughter. It's not real until it's your daughter or my daughter. Then it becomes real because we're facing that issue of an early pregnancy. And so we've always advocated not for abortion, but for carrying the baby to term or placing it in a home of a wonderful family. And then, saving the life of the unborn. And this is so important. My friends, as we go through again, I want to let you know that this is all medical factual data that I'm sharing with you to honor our folks working in the pro-life movement throughout the nation and worldwide, basically with the March for Life that just took place. We want to piggyback on them and give you a little bit more information. So in the third month, the baby can actually grab its hand. The baby can now squint, swallow, and move his tongue. The baby sleeps and awakens. Fingernails and toenails form. The baby now has his own unique set of fingerprints. Sensitive to touch, he will tightly grasp an object placed in the palm of his hand. He breathes amniotic fluid to help develop and strengthen the respiratory system. But he gets the oxygen he needs through the umbilical cord, the lifeline of the mother, which is so important. And that umbilical cord, my friends, which is, again, the lifeline to the mother, is the key to that baby staying alive. It's also the key to moms who are either smoking or drinking or drug addicted during that pregnancy. Those will impact the baby in a traumatic way. And I'll never forget many, many years ago when I was 21 years old, working up in Long Island, New York as a waiter, working in a restaurant during a Christmas season, one of the girls, Barbara, came up to me and she said, no one has the Christmas spirit. Even though we're working during the Christmas season, making money, we're working hard, and no one has the Christmas spirit. What can we do to get that Christmas spirit? they said, gee, you know, I don't know, what can we do? Why don't we do something nice for somebody else? And she said, that's a great idea, but what can we do? I said, I don't know. Maybe we can raise money for an orphanage. So I asked her, where is the nearest orphanage? And she said, St. Christopher's Orphanage in Glen Cove, New York. So Barbara and I went over to St. Christopher's, and I was expecting to see children running around playing soccer and playing tag out in the field. But when we got there, little did I know that this was the kind of orphanage where children were being cared for from addicted parents. And it wasn't but a minute or two when I walked in the door and saw nurses and doctors taking care of children who were born with missing limbs, children who were born blind, children who had multiple, you know, problems during birth because of the addiction that the mother had during the pregnancy. And so that umbilical cord is the lifeline of the mother. It's also the feeding tube. And whatever the mother takes in is going to have an impact, both positive or negative, to that child. So, so important. But I'll never forget that. And so we end up raising $800 back in 1981 by running raffles and to help the orphanage there for that 1 year. The second year, we raised $1,500 and helped them to build a new game room for the staff. And, you know, it was a good cause, and it still is. But I share that with you because I never thought I would see children with limbs that were missing and partial and just short arms and blind and one arm missing. It was a heartbreaker. And that helps me to continue to move forward in the pro-life work, my friends, to educate and motivate people to do the right things for the unborn child while they're pregnant. You have an impact as a mom. As we go into the fourth month, the baby begins to dream. The baby's brain has begun maturing, a process that will continue until the baby is about 14 years old. Her eyelids are now sealed shut and will reopen at 7 months. Her taste buds are now working. Nutrients consumed by her mother are passed on to her within an hour or two. 300 quarts of fluid a day are sent to the baby via the umbilical cord. Fine hair begins to grow on the head, eyebrows and eyelashes as well. Facial expressions similar to the baby's parents can be seen at this time. This month's REMs, or rapid eye movements, have been recorded, a sign of dreaming. Medical factual data, my friends, that we indeed have human life in a mother's womb. And you know what? In 1973, again, the U.S. Supreme Court said it's legal to take the life of the unborn child. And it went on for decades that way. And I share that with you because, again, all of this data is medical factual data. How is it possible that they allowed this? And it's still there. It's still legal to take the life of the unborn. It's up to you and I to fight the good fight and to run the good race to, you know, defeat the evil entity out there who is fighting for abortion throughout the world. Very, very important. In the fifth month, the mother could feel the kicks of the baby. This month marks the halfway point to birth, and the baby is very active. Sleep habits develop, and the baby's mother can feel him move and stretch, particularly when she is resting. The baby is big and strong enough to kick hard against the outside uterine wall and dent it. Up to now, although he swam with ease in his watery world, the baby was too small for his to detect because the inside wall of the uterus has no feeling. Babies born at this age have survived. And you know, between 5 and 6 months, about 5.5 months, a premature baby can actually survive in an incubator. And still, you know, it was still legal for many years to have an abortion at this point. At 6 months, the baby can do somersaults and roll over. The baby can now roll over inside the womb. The baby's oil and sweat glands are functioning. A white filmy layer called vernix covers the baby and protects her delicate skin from the surrounding amniotic fluid. This waxy substance will be quickly absorbed into her skin soon after she is born. She can now respond to her sound. Her lungs are fairly well developed, and she would stand a good chance of survival if born at this time. Again, we're looking at the 6 month, and in the 7th month, the baby begins to look around while in the womb. Beginning this month, the baby uses all 4 senses. The baby's eyelids open and close, and the eyes look around. The baby can taste, touch, cough, yawn, and hiccup. The baby now recognizes his mother's voice in the 7th month. The baby's grip is even stronger now than it will be after his birth. The hair on his head is growing longer, and the downy covering on the rest of his body is disappearing. During this time, the baby will receive antibodies from his mother, providing him with immunity to a wide variety of diseases. And again, God says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So God has provided all of these antibodies and all of the organs and all of the muscles and limbs and cartilage and bones. It's an amazing process that only God could have created. In the 8th month, in the last 2 months, the baby continues to gain weight. The baby is developing a layer of fat that will keep her warm after she is born. In the 9th month, she will shift to a head-down position, preparing for birth. Her lungs are now fully developed and capable of making the transition to breathing air. After the birth, she will continue the human growth process for approximately the next 80 years. And my friends, as we get into the 9th month, the baby is delivered. The miracle of life. And the producer of the miracle of life, the gift of motherhood, the most powerful gift in the world other than the love of God itself, producer of life. The gift of motherhood must be put on a pedestal, must be cherished and protected, because without the gift of motherhood, all life would end. And this is so important as we see countries around the world with negative birth rates and challenges with running economies without enough people. It's an amazing concept. But that's why the gift of motherhood is so important to us, my friends. And again, you know, Planned Parenthood is out there as the largest abortion provider. And I just want to mention that, you know, whatever you can do in your community, in your church, as an activist, whatever you can do to get the message across to your congressman, your senator, to your president, to your family, to your school, whatever you can do to get the message out, to educate and motivate people to protect life, to defend life, is going to be a beautiful thing for us. And God will bless you for that, because God says, do not kill. Okay? He says, a man will leave his mother and father and join his wife and be fruitful and multiply in that context of that marriage. And this is a powerful concept. And today we have entities fighting against traditional marriage and family life, against the right, you know, that we're talking about here. We're not looking to continue with abortion. We want to end abortion. I want to make it real clear. And if you're with me on that, my friends, give us a call here at the studio, 215-345-1570. Again, 215-345-1570. And just let us know that you like what you're hearing, that you're on board with us. You're a team player, and you're on God's side. You're with us. But with God, all things are possible, in the Gospel of Luke. very, very important. So I want to thank all of the people who went down to Washington for the March for Life and took part in that wonderful day and took the time to get their buses ready and to get their people ready and to take care of their people on the buses, which is an amazing thing. Bill Miller and I ran many bus trips for many years and worked with him for about 8 years and always enjoyed it. Learned a lot from Bill and also from Joe Mortimer and John Stanton about how to do what we need to do to get the message of life to our people. Very, very important. And in the gospel today, the Lord is calling us to let our light shine. And it's something we've heard over the years, but in daily life, it's something we really need to take a look at objectively. Is our light shining, or are we, you know, keeping it covered up? What is it that we are doing day in and day out to allow people to see God within us? We let our light shine, people will see God within us. Takes us back to our dedication today to Martin Luther King Jr., who helped to bring equality and fairness to the United States of America. A guy who was truly a martyr, but who fought for years to bring the word of God, the peace of God, and the love of God to millions of people with a great message of equality, ending segregation in 1964 when he won the Nobel Peace Prize. It was such an important thing, and he is a finisher. But he allowed the light of God to shine within him, and millions of people followed him. And that's what I'm talking about, my friends, allowing people to have their light shining all over it. Never before in America, truly, today we are really at a point where we need to have our light shining for everybody to see. You know, in 1962, the prayer was removed from the public school system. And many, many years ago, Judge Roy Moore, the Alabama Chief Justice, was fired for standing up for the Ten Commandments. Well, here we are, you know, approximately 15 years after that, and we can see a lot of damage has been done in different areas of our nation and the world. So there's no time like the present to get our lights turned on and shining brightly, recharging our batteries. And this is so important that we keep balance, that we're not burned out from being activists, and we're not burned out or turned off to the message of life, the messages that God has given us to bring to the forefront to our senators and congressmen. First and foremost, to our own children. It's so critical that we do it. And what are you doing each and every day to bring that light to the world? I want to highlight a guy who was in the Knights of Columbus with me many years ago, who died January 16, 2014. His name is Bill Gibney. And Bill was a great warrior for the Blessed Mother. And one day he let his light shine in our meeting, and he advocated that we begin the meeting with the rosary prayer. And, immediately everybody got on board with him, but it was Bill's idea. It was his light shining through him. We could see God within him, and that was something important to him to talk about the rosary, which is truly the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, at our meeting before we get down to some of the other business we had. And we did that for many years when I was part of the rosary group, Knights of Columbus group over at St. Ignatius in Yardley. So I just want to thank Bill Gibney for what he did. And he was a real warrior, you know, for the Lord and the Blessed Mother, and he taught me a lot. He was a real inspiration, a real role model, and a good friend. And I know his wife and daughter, I knew them. So I just want to, again, just highlight Bill as someone who let his light shine within a church organization. And just like Martin Luther King Jr., who did it in the public, you know, God prepared him. God prepared him through the Word of God. Martin, you know, allowed God to, you know, sharpen his sword. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And with Martin's help, he was able to educate, motivate, and sharpen the skills of millions of people because he was truly a Baptist minister, and he was prepared with the Word of God on the tip of his tongue. No coincidence, 100 years before, Abe Lincoln, the same way, had no church affiliation, but Abe Lincoln, too, let his light shine. And he was rooted in the Word of God. He knew it very, very well. And he said this, It is the responsibility of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God and to recognize the sublime truth in Holy Scriptures that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. And Abe Lincoln, you know, was the 16th president of the United States, and he was a warrior, you know, for equality as well. He fought to end slavery. As the first Republican president, he fought the entire Democratic Party who wanted to keep slavery in place for economic reasons. And it took the Civil War to get this thing to end. And hence, you know, we went from slavery to segregation. And of course, Abe Lincoln was a martyr, just like Martin Luther King Jr. 100 years later. You know, he fought for the cause. When you're in the public, not everybody's going to agree with you, and you might actually be taken out, like Martin Luther King Jr. and like Abraham Lincoln. And I just tell you, you know, you're in good company because all of the apostles were in the public too. And St. Paul in the public, who wrote 13 books of the Bible, but these were mostly martyrs. When you're in the public and people don't agree all the time, very often things are going to happen. But sometimes you can be killed for the cause. Again, God is with us. And if God is for us and with us, who can be against us? And we want to keep that in mind at all times. And so as we continue our program, my friends, I just want to let you know again that my name is Joe Montone, your host. This is Finding God in Prison. We're in our ninth year at the Philadelphia Department of Prisons. We're here on Holy Spirit Radio today with the blessings of, you know, God and the Holy Spirit with us. No coincidence that the Holy Spirit, it brought us to Holy Spirit Radio. And I want to take a moment just to thank Dale and Jane for all the great work that they do here at the station for many years. And also for Frank, our producer, for producing our show once again, and all of the volunteers who have helped out throughout the year. You know, it is the year 2020, and we're expecting, you know, great things this year because, you know, God has given us our arms, our legs, the breath of life. He's given us the go-ahead, the green light to shine brightly and to help other people. And that's what we do here at Holy Spirit Radio. Truly, we bring the message of the gospel into the hearts and minds of other people. As an affiliate station of EWTN, you know, we've been doing that for many years. And this is our 20th year here at the station. Just want to put a little plug in for Dale and Jane and Frank, because you know what? Many times, you know, people don't tell you that you did a good job, but I'm going to say it, because it needs to be said that these people are out there doing a great job for many years. And we all get tired, but these people are truly like St. Paul. They're running the good race. They're fighting the good fight, and God is with them. I want to shift gears now, my friends, to another reading, which is the first reading from Isaiah coming up this weekend, Isaiah 58, verses 7 through 10. It's all about true fasting. And, you know, prayer and fasting are powerful tools to you know, help God to intervene. It's a sacrifice, truly. And here's what Isaiah is telling us this weekend. Isaiah 58, verses 7 through 10. Sharing your bread with the hungry, sheltering the oppressed and the homeless, clothing the naked when you see them, and not turning your back on your own. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your wound shall quickly be healed. Your vindication shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove from your midst oppression, false accusation, and malicious speech, if you bestow your bread on the hungry and satisfy the afflicted, then the light shall rise for you in the darkness, and the gloom shall become for you like midday. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Once again, the Lord is telling us, you know, true fasting is to go out and to share your bread with the hungry. Can you picture yourself, envision yourself sharing your bread, your food, your groceries? What can you do, my friends? There's a great organization out there called Aid for Friends that I worked for 10 years as a volunteer. And many people come together once a month and make 400 to 500 meals. And then some people will come and take those meals and bring them to visitors. And so one of the first ministries I was involved with over at St. Ignatius in Yardley was Aid for Friends. And maybe the most important thing we can do is actually bring food to the homebounds, the frail elderly, people who cannot shop for themselves. And I'll just tell you one or two stories here. When I got involved for Aid for Friends, we went to a home over in Bristol. And when I got the man's name, the people told me, you know, don't go inside. Don't go inside because it's not a nice place. Well, if you tell me that, I'm going to want to go in and take a look. So for 6 months, I ended up visiting this man, Willie, in Bristol. But when I first got there, I knocked on the door and the door swung open. And I said, "Willie," he said, "Yep, I'm in the bedroom." And he said, "Just put the meals in the freezer." When I opened the refrigerator and the freezer, there was barely anything in there. And I went to visit Willie in the bedroom there. He was sitting in the chair, and he weighed about 600 pounds, very large individual. We talked for about 15 minutes. We prayed an Our Father prayer together, and we became friends. Through Aid for Friends, we're able to open the door to a new friendship and share the love of God while bringing food to a man who had no food, a man who had difficulty just walking. And so a great ministry, as the prophet Isaiah says, true fasting, sharing your bread with the hungry, and sheltering the oppressed and the homeless, brings me right into Mother Teresa, who, you know, a great warrior for AIDS victims and the homeless, who opened up more than 500 homes through her more than 40 years of ministry work after she was a religious nun and left the convent, all to do, you know, good work for the community, serving the homeless, the AIDS victims. And she had more than 2,000 women working with her. Like Martin Luther King Jr., who was trained and prepared by God in the Word of God, the peace of God, and the love of God, Mother Teresa, too, brought the Word of God the peace of God and the love of God to many people. And God blessed her with 2,000 women who came to work with her in the Missionaries of Charity. Again, through serving other people and through true fasting. And this is what the prophet is saying, is that this is fasting. And even the Blessed Mother says at some of the apparition sites, she has said that if you like to give up something more than food when you fast, then give that up. We have Lent coming up, and people are always concerned about giving up, you know, a specific food, but you could give up an hour of your time to serve other people and do it that way too. There's many ways to go through Lent. And I usually try to take on an extra hour or two of work each week for Lent. And God repays me with more joy and more peace. And the prophet Isaiah again says, clothing the naked when you see them and not turning your back on your own. The clothes. One of the things we did for many years and still doing it today is bringing strollers and car seats and diapers and formula and baby clothes and maternity clothes to moms in need, young moms who are pregnant and having children. Okay, and there's some, the Legacy of Life Foundation doing great work with Marie Joseph and Dr. Lester Rupersberger and Betty, and some wonderful people working to help them. And I tell you, you know, there's no greater thing than to see a mom struggling and you to remove the struggle by placing her kids in a stroller or giving her diapers or formula or baby clothes or maternity clothes. It's a beautiful thing. And they're doing great work there at the Legacy of Life Foundation. And I just encourage them to go forward. Prophet talks about, then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your wound shall quickly be healed. This is the light we're talking about in the Gospel of Matthew. Your light will shine, and God wants you to do it. He's calling us to do it. Whatever you do for the least of your brothers, you've done it for me. And God makes it clear that we are called to do it, because he also says, whatever you did not do for the least of your brothers, you didn't do it for me, Joe Montone. Very, very important. Now, we can't be there for everybody, but we do the best we can. Take care of your own family first, get your own house in order, and then move over and help someone else as well. But don't neglect your wife and kids to serve others. Take care of your home, get the peace of God in your home, and take that peace then to the next home. Very, very important. And that's the secret of doing community service for years and decades. And I truly believe that. And with that, there's so many examples of ministries that we can come and get involved with. And I want to shift gears now as we turn the page truly and move forward into the third reading coming up this Sunday. And the third reading is from 1 Corinthians 2, 1 to 5. And it goes like this. And this is from St. Paul, a man who wrote 13 books of the Bible. When I came to you, brothers, proclaiming the mystery of God, I did not come with some liberty of words or of wisdom, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and much trembling, and my message and my proclamation were not persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of spirit and power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. And this is the message from St. Paul, that in his transition, he gained great wisdom, but it's the power of God that he truly wanted to rely on and not his own wisdom. His demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God to touch the hearts and minds of the people, to prepare them for everything they have to do in life, in family life, in community service, in work. And St. Paul truly is a role model, an inspiration, a persecutor of Christians, a person who truly was blinded by God for 3 days, for 72 hours, and then given the opportunity to see again, physically. He was given his eyesight back. How many of us out there have been spiritually blind for a long time, and then God woke us up? Let our light shine now and share the story. I truly believe that the love of God is the most powerful gift in the world. But second to that, your story, sharing your life story. It's your life. To let that light shine is so important, and getting it into the heart and mind to other people so that we can help heal the wounds of some of the people who are out there who need our help. In prison ministry, we see tremendous evidence of people who were born into poverty, born into homes where there were addicted parents or incarcerated parents. And we have generational, situations, generational poverty, generational incarceration, generational addiction. And this is, what St. Paul, is out there as a role model for us. And we need to embrace his style to get the Spirit and power of God, because, man can do no great things. Only God can do great things. But man can do extraordinary things, as St. Paul did, as, the apostles did. But with God's help, we too will touch the hearts and minds of other people. We too will help to guide and direct our children into the right areas. And this is essential for the times we're living in, my friends. The year 2020, where will we be 20 years from now as a nation? Where will our children be, who are now 12 and 13, they'll be 32 and 33 years old. It's going to be up to us to provide them with the right guidance and direction, the basic instructions before leaving earth, coming from the Word of God, the Bible. So, so important. And God's given it to us on a silver plate. It's so easy to do, but yet we hesitate to rely on the Word of God. We want to come up with the answers independent of his word. We want to rely on our wisdom. But St. Paul's telling us it's the Spirit and power of God. Okay? So that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. He's telling us that. It doesn't matter the education you receive, what degrees you have, the Spirit and power of God is the answer, and God will provide all that you need, the words and phrases he will give you at the right time. And it's an important message that I'm delivering here today in the second reading, okay, 1 Corinthians 2:1-5, and you'll hear it. You're going to hear it on Sunday again, so you will be prepared. So for those of us out there who know so much and always want to give our own opinions, and we're relying on wisdom, St. Paul's calling us to rely on the Spirit and the power of God. And that includes God's Word as the solution to daily life. The problems that we deal with each and every day in the 168, the full time available, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, when problems come up, what would Jesus do? How would he handle these things? I want you to ask yourself these questions and see what guidance and direction has God already provided for thousands of years for us to embrace, to help to solve problems in daily life as a father raising children, as a mother raising daughters, as a husband who's now married for the first time, as a wife who has a husband who's ill, what does God say about these situations? As a grandfather for the first time, God's word has it all, and yet we're reluctant to open up the word of God. Today, my friends, I ask you to take the time to read just a few of the scriptures, and our blessed mother has been telling us that for years, you know, and we learn that through the apparition sites, to stay into the word of God and live out just a few scriptures every day and live them out. And that's God's direction, as he has given the Blessed Mother the ability to appear throughout the world for centuries. And we thank the Lord for our Blessed Mother Mary, who said, yes, whatever you want me to do, I will do it for you, be it your will. Like the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will be done, Father, but your will be done. Our Blessed Mother follows suit, just like Jesus did. Okay? And this is powerful. And we, too, have to give him our yes. And I want to just say that to you, because we're coming up on the close of the show. We've got only another minute or two. I want to just say what a privilege and a pleasure it's been here to join you once again on Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. What a blessing it's been to have Finding God in Prison on Holy Spirit Radio. And I am very, very thankful to the Holy Spirit for giving me the words to provide you with today. And I just want to thank God our Father for all of the blessings he's given us in our prison ministry as well, in our pro-life ministry as well. I hope you enjoyed the overview of the life of conception through birth and the medical factual data that we provided you with today in the first half of the show, as well as the update on the WINGS program over at the Karan Framo Correctional Facility. It is a just a blessing to be there with Bill Monick, and we look forward to going back on Mondays and Wednesdays and just being there for the men, you know, for years to come, because we are making a difference, and the men have given us great feedback, and we are seeing changes. With an 80% success rate, you know, we're looking forward to many more wonderful seminars to do. With that, my friends, I just want to, again, thank you for all of your attention today. I want to thank you for joining us here at 1570 AM WISP Holy Spirit Radio. May God bless you with a great day and a good week. And we'll see you next time here at Finding God in Prison. Have a great day and God bless.